686-2237.
While Afghanistan's are voting, Americans are saying they're a little tired of the war in Afghanistan. How do you feel? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Besides talking about that and what's happening at the voting places, the polling places across Afghanistan, and the people voting much to their own detriment because the Taliban is threatening to attack. Now, so far, there haven't been any attacks that I've heard of that have been reported because it's Thursday and they are voting, as I said. Also, we're going to talk about this Lockerbie incident and the fact that the man who was convicted and has been in jail, who is riddled with cancer, pancreatic cancer, is because of a compassionate reason. They are letting him out of prison and he's able to go back to Libya, which I think is completely outrageous. We'll let you hear what Hillary Clinton had to say about that. You've heard other comments on the show before. You think of the Americans that were killed, young people that were killed, all kinds of people, 270 in all. I think it's completely ridiculous and outrageous, but Scotland had the choice to do that, and they decided that that's what they were going to do. It seemed like because a lot of people were complaining, And we're calling up the folks in Scotland and registering their complaints, a lot of the American families who lost loved ones, it seemed like they were going to back down off of that. But no, in fact, I'm sorry, there is no compassion. If you are convicted of a crime like that, of blowing up that plane, and all those lives just snuffed out over Lockerbie, Scotland, so many Americans who were coming back from England, it's beyond me. I'm sorry. If you're riddled with cancer, then you die in prison with cancer, period. End of story. End of story. So to me, this is one of the bigger stories that has now been kind of shoved under the carpet, and for a reason, because so many people are focused on healthcare reform. You know, you got the Afghanistan going on and the soldiers being killed in Afghanistan, and much of the focus is on what's going to happen with our health care, and for a good reason, because it affects all of us across the board, including, by the way, many of those soldiers' families who they are, over there fighting. Many of the families, their extended families, obviously would face whatever the health care reform would bring to any of us if in fact this goes through in the fall, which I don't think it will. Maybe some version of it. In the meantime, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood assured car dealers that they will be reimbursed for sales made under the Cash for Clunkers program, and said that soon they would offer plans to wind down the incentives. He's saying that the department's going to announce by Friday how they will discontinue the program that offers car buyers rebates of up to $4,500 for trading in an old clunker junker car and buying a new one. In the meantime, in New York, many of the dealers have said, forget it, we're too frustrated, we're not going to continue to do this. And why? Because through early Wednesday, auto dealers have made deals worth $1.81 billion. You hear what I said? $1.81 billion, and they're on pace to use up the rest of the program's $3 billion in early September, because you've had almost 500,000 car sales or truck sales combined in that, with the funds are obviously dissipating still even more. But the problem is the dealers need the money back. Their reimbursement requests haven't been improved, so there's a huge cash crunch. It's critical. And I don't blame the guys some of the guys in New York for saying, forget it, I don't want to do this, because I don't know when I'm going to get my checks. I mean, my guys are waiting, because you know how it's been with cars. They're waiting to get their money back. Please. 800-259-5791. We're going to hear you. We're going to let you hear about Al Megrahi, the Lockerbie bomber, in just a second here. But first, let's go to Mark, who's listening to us in New York. Hello, Mark.
Hi, hon. I'm on my cell phone. Can you hear me okay?
We got you.
Okay. I'm not going to rant and rave. I'm not going to go shooting on all directions. I just want to have a little conversation. First, I want to thank you for letting me have so much time yesterday.
I think it's good. I think your passion, you heard me say that. I think that passion is what lacks in so many people. So I think it's great, Mark, that you feel the way you feel about this country, just like I do.
And I want to make 2 points. I won't talk about cash for clunkers or what Don said, but he was very right about the electricity. But I don't want to take up too much time with that. I'll call you tomorrow. Afghanistan. I read a bunch of articles by Max Boot and some other professional writers in the Weekly Standard. And General McChrystal, is that his name? He's over in Afghanistan.
Yep.
He took over. He's going to ask for 50,000 more troops. And Obama, when he heard that, his jaw hit the ground. So they already know what they're going to ask for to quell the violence in Afghanistan. And Obama won't do it. And I just want to know, like some other talk shows have said, where are the anti-war protesters? They said this was the good war. They're, you know, go into the caves in Afghanistan and find the terrorists. But I have to ask you, after 9 years or 8 years with all those good American boys, just like the boys in Vietnam, with targets on their backs to protect Hamid Karzai and his brother, which is acknowledged as one of the biggest drug dealers in Afghanistan, what are we doing there? He's going to ask for 50,000 more troops. He's not going to want to send them. But there's no clear, what we need. And also, Amir Tahiri in today's New York Post, we're talking about the elections and how Karzai has opposition from other Pashtun and Tajik tribe members and tribalism.
Yeah.
America, it's very important. I don't have time to go into it. You can read it, research it yourself. The tribalism aspect is extremely important. But one of the paragraphs he mentioned, Amir Tahiri, he said that some of the tribesmen want to break up some of the provinces in Afghanistan to sort of merge with Pakistan, or basically have those provinces, up to 50 million people, I believe, I don't have it memorized, to under Taliban-like rule. So I ask you again, America, what in God's name, after 8 years and all the sacrifice, we're going to, if the election is contested and the Taliban takes over certain areas, what are we doing? The drug production at the poppy seeds has gone way through the roof. And just really another note on drug, in the New York Times, Bolivia, they're planting cocaine down there. The point is, what are we doing? I mean, Afghanistan, what's the end game? And I just want to know, I mean, Michael Savage has mentioned, I listen to him, and I hate to bring up another talk show on your show, but he asked a question, but I've asked him, what's the end game? And Karzai's government is under Sharia law. Everything that the words that about Islam or in the Sharia, we're protecting it. It's time to get out. There's no one in the caves over there. They're in Europe. They're in America planning the next attack. And
right.
That's one point I want to make. If you get 30 more seconds, you know, you talk about how you needed a good Samaritan. There was an old-time radio talk show host in New York. You might have heard of him. His name is Bob Grant. He was for 30 years.
I know Bob Grant.
I talked to him so many times, and I was passionate, and I said, you know, about self-defense, about all the other articles. And I said, how we need to fight. And you know what he told me? I'll never forget this. He said, Mark, American people are a bunch of wussies. He said, they'll tell you, give me your coat, Mark. I'll hold your coat while you go fight. Well, it's time to wake up, America, because guys are fighting for us. We have to fight for ourselves. Whatever the issue is, you have to be passionate and be able to, you have to sacrifice. Because if you don't, we won't be able to right this ship.
I agree with you 100%. Thanks, Mark. And Mark is asking the question that I ask every single time I talk about Afghanistan. What is the end game? We talked to Jeff Atticott in our last show. I mentioned this before. And he's brilliant when it comes to terrorism, when it comes to thwarting it legally, etc. A lot of the people in Washington use him. He's testified. He's helping the FBI. And what is the end game? Please tell us.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit purebulk.com. That's purebulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times there are these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
All right, we talked about this, the Lockerbie bomber going free. Is there any question? I'm sure all of you, I don't even have to throw out the question, would vote, or at least most of you, that he shouldn't be free. He is being released in Scotland, or Scotland decided to release him on compassionate grounds. He has terminal cancer. He's like 58 years old. And the Lockerbie bomber snuffed out the lives of how many Americans, a lot of young people that were going to study over in England and then happened to be on that flight that was blown to bits. And, you know, really that was one of our first big terroristic attacks, one that I think really shocked the American people anyway. You know, we forget because you talk so much about 9/11, but you got to go back to 1988 and that December. And I can remember being there with my family and watching the tube and seeing that plane and seeing the remnants of that Pan Am flight. And you had mostly Americans. It was flying to New York, taking people back for Christmas, back for the holidays. So all 259 people, boom, snuffed out their lives. 11 on the ground died, by the way, too, when the plane slammed in, the remnants slammed into the town of Lockerbie. And a lot of people, I guess, I say a lot of people, they did a review of the case, and there are people that felt that Al-Megrahi was not the guy who did it, that he was innocent. So there were a lot of people in England, anyway, that felt that. And the lawyers for this former Libyan intelligence agent say that the condition's getting worse, the terminal cancer, he's riddled with it. So the question of whether to release him certainly has divided the families of those who died, but they couldn't be more thrilled in Libya. And I just think it's just such a miscarriage of justice. I can't imagine being one of those people. My heart hurts for those people that they have to read these headlines and hear these stories and relive it over and over again. That not a day goes by, I'm sure, when they don't think of their lost children or loved ones, husband, father, etc. Here's what the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had to say.
I knew a lot of the family members of those who were lost because there was a large contingent from Syracuse University. So during the time that I had the great honor of representing New York, I knew a lot of these families. I talked with them about what a horror they experienced, and I just think it is absolutely wrong to release someone who has been imprisoned based on the evidence about his involvement in such a horrendous crime.
Yep, and like I said, for Libyans, they're planning on throwing a big celebratory party for him for the return of al-Megrahi. They think he's an innocent victim, and the West was running a smear campaign to turn him and their country into an international pariah, so they feel exonerated that too many people paid for Lockerbie in their country, but he paid the highest price. A lot of people were saying that, and I say shame on Scotland for letting him go. There should be no compassion. He was convicted. There was no he was not overturned. That ruling was not overturned. That sentencing, etc., was not overturned. So why should he be let go? So now he gets handed back to Libya. Mm. So anyway, I thought we would throw the cancer-ridden al-Megrahi back into the dungeon. Let's open the dungeon and let's shove him back in.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah, and like I said, most American families were pretty hostile. There was one guy, a Reverend John Mosey. He had a daughter who's just 19. She died in the attack, and he said that he should be able to die with dignity with his family, and it's our Christian duty to show mercy. Ooh, I am an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth person, I guess, and I just cannot be swayed in a different direction on that one. Hey, coming up on the show, if you missed it, we're going to have an interesting conversation with a doctor who says our food supply is riddled with toxins, and both in Canada and the United States. He worked for the Canadian government forever, for 35 years, and his job was to protect basically the food supply. Wait till you hear what Dr. Shiv Chopra says. Plus, he talks about the swine flu. He says it's all a hoax, and that, yes, it's sad that people are dying, but that the vaccine is all about the hype, and he wouldn't take the vaccine, and that you shouldn't take the vaccine, but I'll let him say that in his own words. You'll hear that coming up in our next hour on America Tonight. Meanwhile, this came out today, and this is worth a follow-up to mention this. You remember the Virginia Tech gunman? We were on the air, and so many people called in and around that area to talk about their feelings of what happened there, and the response, and should universities go on lockdown, and you know, the argument over guns and all that other sort of stuff. And so they released records showing a couple of things from Roanoke, Virginia. They discovered the mental health records, first of all, and there was no indication in the records that he was anywhere anywhere near close to doing what he did, that mass shooting, the one of the worst mass shootings in our history. And there was no indication in any of his files, because remember, that's what a lot of us kept saying. I'm sure I said that on the air as well, is how come nobody did anything to stop this guy? How come they didn't realize what was going on? But apparently they didn't have that anywhere, that he was suicidal or homicidal or any of that kind of stuff, because remember, it was back in 2007, just a couple of years ago, in April 2007, that Sung-Hoo Cho killed 32 students and some faculty members on that campus and then took his own life. And all the records they could find showed absolutely nothing. His last therapy session was in 2005, and they talked at length and interviewed people to try to see if they could have, if somebody could have done something, if somebody could have seen something, if there was anything at all, any indication of what he was about to do. And the answer to that is no, absolutely not. And I think it's great that the family wanted the records released because people wanted to know more about this guy. Was he a ticking time bomb, and did somebody make a mistake? And the family was pretty open about letting people see it so they could comprehend. I guess you would never fully comprehend what he did. How do you assault students and fellow students and instructors and do what he did? But at least they would get the insight that, hey, there was nobody that dropped the ball as far as knowing just what he was capable of, because that wasn't in any record anywhere. I've talked about Hurricane Bill. I didn't give you the follow-up on that. I got a note here from Ellen. Ellen says, Kate, you mentioned Hurricane Bill, that it was headed for landfall. What's going on with Hurricane Bill? Well, it's now a Category 4, so that means 135-mile-an-hour winds. They're saying it could grow even more, and it's making huge waves, I guess, around Bermuda with the winds that it's kicking up and stuff. They think it's going to get even stronger. It's still too early to tell if it's going to get close to the shore over the weekend or actually veer away from the East Coast. It looks like it's headed to the East Coast, but it could still make that turn. And in the five-day forecast, they're saying it could pass well offshore of North Carolina and Virginia anyway, but that doesn't protect New Jersey and some of those other areas. And then, of course, a cold front is expected to come in, and if it does, then it's not clear what would happen in the East Coast. They are telling the people, I know because my mother is just down at the beach, that they're warning people. They have huge signs up, and they're telling everybody to be careful of rip tides and rough seas through the weekend. So they can't, they don't want to write it off, I would assume, but they don't want people to panic either. They're expecting it mostly to be what I just said, rip tides and some pretty rough seas. So what happens there is there's a greater risk of drownings if people go into the water and they don't take heed to this, and then suddenly they find themselves way down the shoreline before they realize it, and then it's absolutely too late. But 135 mile an hour winds, so they're going to get it pretty bad, I think, in Bermuda, at least with what will happen on those shores. But still don't know if you have to full-on batten the hatches yet, on the East Coast. Hang with us. More to come on the flip side.
What if we're next?
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
If you'd like to play poker, craps, or roulette at home with casino-style equipment, you need to find a reputable company that you can trust. JustPokerSupplies.com is here to help you find what you need for your at-home casino experience. JustPokerSupplies.com carries the latest professional and custom poker chips, playing cards, craps, and roulette tables, and even custom felt for your new table. Need some help with your game? You will find a large assortment of books and DVDs that will teach you how to dominate the competition. Planning a game room? JustPokerSupplies.com sells Las Vegas-style art, lighting, seating, automatic card shufflers, poker genies, and over 1,500 different products to suit your needs. Whether you want a large game room or just a small one for you and your friends, head on over to JustPokerSupplies.com. That's JustPokerSupplies.com or call 877-255-4616. That's 877-255-4616 today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
In Afghanistan right now, but there are many people that feel really the war should be in Pakistan if you're trying to completely snuff out the Taliban. I think Americans are weary of the war, frankly, and especially now Afghanistan, because remember, we've been in Afghanistan since 2001. Over 700 troops have lost their lives. But be that as it may, this is the game plan for now. Nobody can tell us what the end game is. General McChrystal will be back on the Hill when Congress is back in session after this election goes down in Afghanistan. He comes back to the United States. He'll give a report. We've already talked about this for weeks on end, that we know for sure, and we've talked to people on the show about it, that he's going to ask for more troops. And already by the end of the year, it's supposed to kick up to almost 70,000. So in the meantime, what is going on in Pakistan? And I saw an interesting thing today. It was probably CNN or Fox, one of them. Might have been CNN, a foreign correspondent, somebody who covers the region, talking to somebody in Pakistan, Pakistan's foreign minister and talking about Islamabad and in fact about what's happening there, what's going on in Pakistan, how are things settling, and also what ultimately what is the future and would you negotiate with the Taliban? Because remember that was being reported that, you know, there are possibilities of negotiating with the Taliban, with the United States. Yeah, right. Just have to put down your arms, your ideology, and pretty much everything about you, you'll have to change, but then we'll negotiate with you. So anyway, here's what the Shah Qureshi had to say about those things.
Do you believe the Taliban is on the run?
I would say so. I would say so because our operations in Swat have been successful. And the proof of that is the voluntary return of the internally dislocated people. They wouldn't have gone back if they weren't feeling secure. The fact that they are feeling secure and they are going back is a proof that the Taliban are on the run. I think we've had great success in converting public opinion against them. You must have noticed a decisive shift in public opinion in Pakistan. Now the local population is rising against them and they're saying your presence is affecting our lives.
Some U.S. military commanders have said in Afghanistan that they are willing to engage with certain elements of the Taliban. Can you apply that same strategy here in Pakistan?
If they're willing to sit and talk, if they're willing to give up arms, if they're willing to accept it to the government, we're willing to sit and talk to them. But if they challenge the rate of the government, if they bomb schools, right, if they destroy our infrastructure.
All right, so, I mean, he's just answering the question. They want to destroy the infrastructure, the schools, whatever. Are they going to really lay down their weapons? Are they going to do all that sort of stuff to sit and negotiate it? Of course, it's politically correct to say, yes, I mean, if we could negotiate, it's always better to have diplomacy, but is it likely with the Taliban the way the Taliban is currently and how it's been for the last decade? Is that really a possibility? Speaking of possibilities, it's all about healthcare reform in this country. You know, we've talked about it a ton on America Tonight. Of course, we have the outrage of the American people going to so many of the town hall meetings, not just in the South, but everywhere in between, whether it's in Pennsylvania or Michigan or any of the other states, Arizona, etc. It's obvious that people want answers that they're not getting. And a lot of the people that go to the town hall meetings, of course, are older people who are scared to death that somehow, you know, Medicaid, Medicare is going to get messed with, which, of course, is a government program. And what happens with supplemental insurances and, you know, so on and so forth down the line. It's just massive confusion. And I've already said this and jumped on my giant soapbox. The crap that's being served up in that House Bill 3200 is just, it's ridiculous. I don't understand who wrote it. I just, with all the smart people that we have in this country, whoever sat down and they collectively penned this did a lousy job of it. And of course, none of the groundwork was laid anyway for this whole healthcare reform debate. So this is what you get. And I don't understand why the people who go to the healthcare meetings get heckled by, you know, heckled on the air by so many people when they're going, and many of them are going because they, like I said, are befuddled and have no clue what this means for them, but they want to make sure that their voice gets heard. And I'll just stand by the statement. I mean, bravo to the people who are doing it. Obviously, it's better to have discussions, but the way things are set up, it doesn't play out that way. When you really look and you talk to people behind the scenes, you find out what happens, and people are so fired up. I have never seen anything like it. So what happens if Obama, who's now appealing to faith-based groups on healthcare and trying to sell it however he can, I mean, how far is the White House willing to go to war over healthcare? I saw that headline today, and I thought, wow, that's right. How far are they willing to push this? Is it just Democrats solely? I mean, are they willing to push the nuclear option, so to speak, and go down the road of not having bipartisan cooperation. So it seems that's the direction that they're headed in at this point. And I'm also wondering if this opens the door for the GOP, once again, if they can get their act together, if it opens the door for more conversations about 2012. Because to me, the health care reform is the biggest thing for Obama. Certainly, it's facing him right now. It's not in the rearview mirror, obviously, and it hasn't been pushed down the road. So this has become a huge for Obama, both for the people who want it and who are upset about the whole public option for saying, okay, we're willing to compromise on the public option and then pulling back on that. And for the people who voted, certainly for Obama, for one of the reasons thinking, okay, it's time for health care reform. So if there isn't health care reform, ultimately, what does that mean? Does it mean that people like Mike Huckabee, the former governor of Arkansas, who's now doing some radio work and it's Fox that he's on. He does a show on Fox. He's over in Israel now, and you wonder, and I saw a big headline, and I thought, oh, yeah, is this the start for Mike Huckabee to say, hey, listen, I'm still here, and I was the governor of Arkansas, and, you know, you kind of embraced me, America, on the campaign trail last time around, and I'm ready to be your guy again. I wouldn't be surprised if Huckabee was doing that, laying the groundwork for it. Would you vote for a guy like Mike Huckabee? Because now so many of the people who've been trotted out for 2012, and you know you got to start running early, there are people that have fallen by the wayside, like Senator Ensign, for one, who comes back to office after the whole sorted affair thing and says, well, you know, I didn't break the law like Bill Clinton, but it doesn't matter. He already lost the whole presidential push possibility. And then, of course, Governor Sanford from South Carolina and everything that's ensued as a result of his affair and where was he and wasn't hiking the Appalachian Trails. We don't have to relive that whole thing. But then the emails and whether he used money from the state to fly to go see his girlfriend, mistress, whatever you want to call her. So he falls off the boards as a presidential possibility. Sarah Palin, a lot of people like Sarah Palin. Then she steps aside as governor of Alaska, and the polls, even among the GOP, starting to shrink a little bit. Some saying they like her, but they don't really want to see her as president. So maybe this is the big opening for Mike Huckabee. You know, it's like I said, it's hard to say, you, after having one election and having now a new president, now looking ahead and thinking of 2012, when so many of us are worried about health care, the economy, what's happening in Afghanistan, what's happening with illegal immigration, it's hard to focus on that. But if you are in the Republican Party, right, they have to be focused on this as to who can they put up there, who can run, who is the best horse in the race, or how many people can we get out there that have a good chance in 2012, because are you going to have a popular president? We've had the two last presidents, Republican, of course, with Bush and Democrat with Clinton, who did 2 years, 8 years. Are we going to have another president who gets a second term, or is he going to be vulnerable because he's disappointing the liberals with this health care reform and some of the people who are moderate who voted for him and some of the people who were independent? Is this a little bit of an opening for the GOP, or is it just too early to tell? See, part of me says, you know, if I were a Republican strategist, it wouldn't be too early to start throwing those names out there, certainly. But for the American people, myself included, I think it's too early in my head to wrap around 2012. Geez, who's coming out? Who's there? Who do I think represents? Who would make a good president, blah, blah, blah. Huckabee, though, I think, does want to be the guy that gets your vote. I think he's sorry the first time. He did the right thing by backing off because he didn't have it. But I think he'll try it again. I think that this going to Israel for Huckabee was something that he did, obviously to raise his profile a little bit. And he was pretty coy when they asked him, some of the reporters there, whether he was going to run in 2012, playing it close to the vest We aren't doing that, so we're going to open up big time next on ATN.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put stop to identity theft. Visit idstronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Talked about this on the air. We've had a ton of people on. This goes to the economy and everything that we're talking about, which has to do with money in this country and surviving and trying to thrive. You might be getting letters in the mail because now the rules have changed. The regulations are changing with the credit card companies, right? And remember, the regulations were supposed to rein in practices like the jumping up of unexpected interest on the rate increases and credit limits cuts. Yeah, that was supposed to happen too, right? Now, supposedly, when something is going to change with the term of your account, you'll get advance warning. I've gotten one of those in the mail, and it was, you know, three pages thick and made no sense and whatever. But so the bottom is there's these little changes that are starting to happen. You're starting to see, right? But what's happened to some people is, you'll get a notice in the mail, like say from American Express, and they'll say the fee elimination, you know, you're done, you don't have to pay the fee anymore, but the interest rate on your card has jumped up 5%. And then if you make a late payment, so let's say you have a 7% interest rate, which would be okay. Not great, but, I mean, you could have a better one, right? 7%, though, probably for most people would be okay. So 7%. Then what happens is because you don't have to pay this fee, well, geez, now you're going to pay 11% for the card. And guess what? If you make any late payments, your rate goes sky high. You know what your rate goes up to on that? I did the math, and your rate would go up to like 27% and change, 27, 20 something, right? So you're done with over limit fees, right? But then the late payments and the balances and all that other stuff, it just depends where you are in your balance, but it doesn't matter. You're going to get slammed with it, and then your percentage is going to jump up big time. So be careful when you start to see these bills come in. Really pay close attention to them. And for goodness sake, if anything, don't throw your bills in the, you know, that happens to everybody. You forget something, even if you're organized and something happens and you forget, oh yeah, your whole life you've paid that credit card on time and you miss a payment, and you will get so jerked around. You won't even know your last name by the time you're done and you're on the phone and trying to talk to someone about it. So it's funny because these new regulations are supposed to stop a lot of the practices that we all complained about with the credit card industry, but you still have to, I mean, you have to stay more than ever on top of your account, because if you don't read the disclosures, for example, it's not gonna help you, and it's in print that's so tiny that even if you have, I'm saying you have to have like laser, you know, eyesight to read them. It's so, so tiny. It would take you like an hour and a half. But you have to know, because some of the rewards are gone, the annual fee thing. I mean, you got to start looking at stuff because it's not very transparent. Let's just put it that way. So it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't. The credit card reform didn't really come down the way that I thought. It's kind of a blessing or a curse, depending on how you look at it. In fact, I think most consumers, you're not going to like what you see with the cards, and hopefully most of you are dwindling down the amount that you're carrying on those cards anyway. Let's ask young Donovan. Donovan, do you carry a bunch of credit cards? I mean, I know this is personal, but are you a big credit card guy, or no? You just like an ATM guy, or you just have a couple necessary cards, or what?
I don't carry credit cards. I ran into trouble with that earlier in life and learned my lesson. And I have a checking account, and I have various other saving apparatuses, but I don't do credit.
Yeah, good for you. I think that, but the thing that's so sad is while we see what's happened with credit and the encouragement of credit, and you said you got in trouble earlier, a lot of times what happens is college students get sent these credit cards, and they're trying to pay for books and classes and everything else, and they start to put it on the card. I know a lot of people that have had that happen. But here's the problem. It's like Donovan. He says, "Oh, forget it. I'm not doing that." And he's got none of that. He has none of that credit card nonsense he has to deal with. But then when he goes to get a house or you go to get other things, what are they always checking for your credit? You get these letters in the mail. You don't have enough credit. I just don't understand that. If you have a clean credit report and you're paying in cash and you're saving things in other ways, I don't get that you get penalized for not having a fistful of credit cards, your wallet not overflowing with credit cards. They want you to have, it's a game, because that's how they make money, in the fees that they keep slamming you with. It's like the banks and the overdraft fees and the millions they make on that. Oh, they are so rooting for you to have overdraft fees, because it's outrageous the amount of money that you'll have to pay anyway if you get ensnared in that little trap. So beware of that. That's my consumer advice for America Tonight folks listening. Really pay attention to that stuff that's coming in the mail. And like I said, you have to have incredible vision to read it, but get those down as low as you can, because it doesn't do you any good. You miss one payment. You could be paying for your entire life, and something happens. Something crazy happens, anything. Like you get stuck somewhere an extra day, or you thought you paid it, or, you know, whatever. And then some people are afraid to pay online because somebody gets their credit card information, because you're worried to death about identity theft. So it's this never-ending game of trying to stay one step ahead, I think, anyway. Here's a big story, and we talked about Blackwater a ton, if you remember, with Robert Liparilla, who did did rather a ton of research on Blackwater for one of the books that he had out that they're making into a movie in Hollywood. They're optioning it for a screenplay right now. Well, this story breaks. The CIA hired Blackwater in 2004. I know you're not surprised by this, right? As part of a secret program to kill some of the top guys in Al-Qaeda. And the contracts were canceled a bunch of years ago. And the reason why is because of the program remaining classified, right? Well, basically, the leak on this is because the program is classified. That's why the leak, it finally leaked out officially that that's what was going on. I think the New York Times had the story, I want to say. I think I saw it on their website. And they talked about some current and former government folks saying that, yeah, Blackwater helped with planning, training, and surveillance for the program. Sounds like the whole Dick Cheney thing. Remember that? Where that started to bubble up about this program that was put on the shelf and never was rolled out, but the idea was to kill members of Al-Qaeda. So anyway, this program never did result in the capture or killing of any terror suspects, but it was never operational, and it was canceled twice, once by George Tenet, who was the CIA director when it first came about, and then finally by Leon Panetta in June. So it is the program that Dick Cheney was aware of, and the thing that they're trying to nail him for. We've talked about this before. I mean, Blackwater obviously under heavy fire, get it? Criticism for their role in that 2007 shooting in Baghdad in that square where 17 civilians were killed. So the thing that we come back to, though, and of course, the CIA has used contractors for intelligence before and operations. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, but it's not clear whether the CIA was planning to use the contractors to capture or kill them or just to help with training and surveillance. So was the mission to snuff them out or to just find them? And, you know, whenever you bring somebody from the outside into a program where it's lethal, then you're going to have that whole covert operations, accountability, you know, murky waters, what really happened here thing that is like a Hollywood movie. If you think of, what was that movie called, Patriot Games or whatever, if you look at any of the Tom Clancy or if you read any of the Tom Clancy books, kind of like that. So getting in bed with private contractors always leads to problems unless it's very clearly laid out. And this was one of the times where Blackwater would have been involved in that, obviously. And so now that information is starting to leak out. And you remember that Eric Prince, Blackwater's founder, is in some deep water right now. They're still talking to him about some of the things that Blackwater did, and he has not been cleared yet of some of those investigations. Food for thought. Hey, you can flip me an email, day or night, americatonight.net.
Hurting people's not a good thing. Sometimes it is, but not when it's a bunch of people looking for something to eat.